In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, it's Jack from Cultaholic.com and this is 9 Pitches for WWE Hell in a Cell 2020. I am joined by Adam Pacitti and Matthew of Botchamania as well. How are the pair of you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm sort of half looking forward to Sunday night for Hell in a Cell, but it's quite difficult to get excited about when there's only 4 matches announced. It's quite difficult to do these pitches as well, actually, as it turns out, but it's all right.
It's been a bit of a hectic day. Matthew, how about you? Are you good?
I'm absolutely fabulous. All the better for seeing you, Jack. I love that. Thank you've you. Got your customary Cultaholic podcast pose sorted out. That has filled me with confidence that this is going to be a fantastic Pitches Predictions podcast.
Yes, it's going to be fantastic. And of course, the rule with these Pitches videos is, as always, it's not what you think's going to happen, gentlemen. It's what we want to happen. Me and my shadow. So it's about time. I had to mention it at some point because it's been all I've seen on Twitter, that segment. So we'll begin with Adam, then we'll go Matthew, then we'll go me, and then we'll go around. And by the end, we'll have 9 lovely pitches for this Sunday. Adam, are you doing any sort of streaming or coverage of it on Sunday you want to mention?
Yeah, I've got a busy old weekend, actually. So predictions, you may have noticed that they're not on the channel yet, but they're going to be going out Saturday evening in the hope that some more matches are announced, because it's me and Sam, because we tied last time. It's me versus Sam, with the loser entering Hell in a Smell. So fingers crossed Sam loses that one, because
it's
I don't
back.
Want to do it. It's back and it's yeah. Smellier than ever. We got no plans for it, not a clue. Also, I'm doing Bound for Glory live reactions on Saturday night.
Oh.
Yep. And then Hell in a Cell on Sunday. So it's a busy old weekend.
That's packed.
So my first pitch involves a stable that's not on the card and might not be on WWE TV much more at all, if Monday Night Raw is anything to go by. And I'm, of course, talking about Retribution. They are already being really, I don't like using the word buried, but they were pretty buried on Raw. The previous week, Ali was meant to address the formation and his role in Retribution, and then that was cut last minute from the show, which was a pretty bad sign. But it got worse as they were beaten clean, and then The Fiend destroyed each and every one of them, one by one. Great stuff. So, yeah, it really feels like WWE have given up on the stable, which is understandable in a way, because it's obviously been met with a great deal of ridicule. But what's the point in giving up on them? I don't want this to become another list entry, just like 10 stables you forgot existed when Cultaholic is in 2030 or whatever. I want them to give it a bit of a go. And I think they still have the opportunity to do so. And so this is really a last ditch effort to get them over, I guess. Let's say that Orton and Drew is the last match on the card on Sunday. I'm not sure it will be, but let's just say that is. Orton wins. That's what I think is going to happen. Drew is laid out in the center of the ring after being punted in the head 50,000 times. And it looks as if the show is going to go off the air. Orton is at the top of the ramp. He's posing with his fancy new belt. When all of a sudden, Retribution's music hits. They come down to the ring and they grab mics and they start shooting. Pow. They lay into their new names, the way that they've been ridiculed by everyone from the fans and now the people essentially booking the show. And they're breaking the fourth wall here. And then, as Ali mentions Vince, the cameras drop down, POV, you see it drop down and cut to black. Not a fade to black. It's like it's not meant to have happened. I'll have to apologise now because this goes a little bit, only a little bit, past Hell in a Cell. But within an hour of the show ending, Ali, or all of Retribution, I don't know how they release it, they release what you weren't meant to see, which is the rest of the shoot promo, which makes sense because Ali is a hacker, so he's managed to get access to that feed somehow. They release that and they are slagging off absolutely everyone. They're just laying into the whole booking of the thing. And because of that, I think people would sympathize and think, hey, these guys have had a rough time of it, and it is silly, and they're really good wrestlers and they deserve better. So the next night on Raw, a video from Vince plays to kick off the show saying that they've been fired. They won't be mentioned ever again. But then on Wednesday night on NXT, Triple H is there and he goes, you know what? I think they actually make a fair bit of sense, these boys and girls. And he's hired them to the NXT brand. They are using their proper names again. No more Flapjack, no more T-Bone, etc. And they are over like Rover, and they're baby faces now because they're slagging off the product and the booking and the creative decisions that we're all fed up with. And this leads to Team NXT versus Team WWE at Survivor Series. Team NXT is Retribution. NXT win.
Ooh, very interesting. I like that. I do like that. Do they ditch the masks then once they've gone back to NXT?
Yeah, I think they can. Some of the, yeah, especially the paper plate mask is pretty stupid. So yeah, get rid of them. We all know what they look like underneath, and if they're using their old names, then yeah, makes sense.
I'm gonna give it a thumbs up, but I'm also gonna suggest two things as well. One, I think that the footage that they release shouldn't be from a feed. I think to make it more convincing, it should be from like one of them's filming it or something, make it seem more authentic. And also, I wanted to lead to Mustafa Ali versus Vince at WrestleMania, and obviously Vince wins and stands tall with one foot on Ali's chest, going, damn it! So
he's defeated those pesky WCW boys again.
Yeah,
no, yeah. I like the idea of it being the feed, just because I would agree with you normally, but it feeds into the hacker gimmick.
Right, okay.
And so I actually think it sort of works in this, and it would look pretty stupid if they were at ringside filming it on their phone or whatever.
No,
on
it
the
wouldn't.
Night if you saw it. Nah.
Nah, it would look fine. Okay.
Matthew?
No, I like it. It's thumbs up.
If I was a teacher and marking your homework, I'd give it a thumbs up just for the effort you've put in.
Thumbs up. My favourite grade.
I can tell. Yeah, that's how they do it in schools nowadays. Hey, this big, big, horrible thing happened in the world. It's gone, look, not getting A, B, C or D. Thumbs up. Now get out.
I got a thumbs up in my GCSEs. But not enough thumbs up for UCAS. Couldn't get into uni. I only got 4 thumbs up. Sorry, carry on.
No, you need 5 thumbs up at GCSEs and 2 yays at A level. Anyway, yes, you put a lot of effort into that, so I'll give you it on principle. I always like that you book so far ahead. It's almost like you're trying to escape the current boredom of the WWE product, that you want to go far ahead into the reality that you want to see. And that's fantastic. And I'm going to give you that. I like that you're booking in the hacker. It's all come full circle. And there wasn't any appearances from Hornswoggle. So yes, you've wrapped this up, a little bow on the end, and gifted it to us. So thank you very much.
No, thank you. I just on that point of like booking far ahead, I think it's really difficult because I think we all see wrestling in the same way, as the pay-per-views aren't necessarily the end of feuds. They can be used to further storylines, etc. So sometimes you do need to go. And I know we jokingly ragged on each other last one, but like the last pitches we did. But I think sometimes it is important. If it had just stopped there with the shoot promo, it wouldn't have made much sense. It wouldn't have been that good. So thank you for allowing me to do so.
Matthew, your first pitch, please.
My pitch is for Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. This is the I Quit match in the Hell in a Cell, because they're adding extra value where they're putting the gimmicks in the Hell in a Cell, just saying. Roman Reigns demands Jey call him the head of the table rather than say I quit. That's the entire point. No one here wants to say I quit. That's not the point. He wants to say I'm the head of the table. And he goes, I'm the head of the table. He goes, no. Say I'm the head of the table. All right, Roman's the head of the table. And Jay finally relents. And the match stops. And Roman goes, yay, all right, yeah, fantastic. Just in time for the annual Hanoi Super Samoan Banquet. It's that time of year. Family, you know, I can't whistle. And the entire Hanoi family come down.
Can he get a horn out and call?
Yeah. Hanoi's assemble. And they all come down the aisle.
Hanoi.
And Hanoi. And the cell. And now, look, you know. And they all come down with one of those big, long tables, shove it in there, and they start eating. It's that time of year when the Hanois like to get together and eat their food. And it's there. Everyone's happy. They're all barefoot. They've all got the leis around their neck. Rikishi's splitting wishbones with Samu. Good times. And then, obviously, Roman Reigns is sat at the head of the table. That's right. So Jimmy Uso shows up. And everyone goes, hello, Uso. And the entire table goes, hey, Jimmy. And then he says, I bought meat to the annual Hanoi Super Samoan Banquet. And Roman says, oh, fantastic. What type of meat did you bring to the annual Hanoi Super Samoan Banquet? Oh. And Jimmy yells, beef,
yes!
And knocks Roman Reigns out. And that gives us Jimmy versus Roman at the next pay-per-view, which will probably be in a week's time. And yes, I did take that off the tweet. That's why Jack reacted before I got the punchline.
No, what? But I didn't know you taking it. I thought it was your own. I was just thinking, what kinds of meat are they? And then I realised.
Oh, okay, great.
It's genius. It's another one where you saved it with a single line. I feel like there was one last pitches video rather, but the line, beef, and then he smacks him is just so good that you can't. The rest of it was bollocks. It's obviously the worst thing we've ever heard. But the beef is so good.
Still got half an hour to go, mate.
Yeah, too.
Hey, what do you think, Jack?
I mean, I'm giving it a thumbs up because you've saved it with that beef line. But I thought it was going to go a different way. I thought you were going to say, like, the food was off, and they were like, who's the chef here? And then it's, if you smell... And then The Rock comes out.
If you smell what he's cooking,
Yeah. So that would have been good.
The Rock's far too rich and famous to be cooking his own meals at the annual Hanoi Super Samoan Banquet.
The ass. Oh, dear. Okay.
I've got nothing to add there. Yep, thumbs up.
Yay!
You're going to uni.
Go on, Jack, save the segment.
Well, I'll start with a serious one. Mine's from Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre as well, but it doesn't involve retribution. It's actually a pitch. It's not my own. Owen suggested it. Cultaholic's own, Owen Morrison. And it's a really good one. So Drew wins in my scenario, and he's celebrating. It's all happy and stuff. And the key problem, I think, with this feud is that it's gone on for way too long. Like, Drew and Orton have been facing each other on several different pay-per-views now. So this should be the end of the feud. To set up the next thing that Drew's going to do, he gets attacked by someone hiding under the ring. And I think that person, or Owen thinks that person, should be Wade Barrett. And I think that's fantastic. And then we get England versus Scotland. Big, like, football's coming home. And we'll see where it goes from there. In my ideal world, because it is what I want to happen, I'd want Barrett to win. Because I think he deserves it. I think he got screwed a decade ago by the booking and not beating Cena and stuff. So I'd really love to see him win it. And then Drew can win it back from him maybe later on or something. But I just want to see Wade Barrett with a world title. I wanted to do it for England, Wade. I think that's what it should be. So what do you think, Matthew?
I like it. Yes, I am fiercely competitive and jingoistic when it comes to the idea of England winning something and be better than every other country. I'm like a lot of people over here.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm the nicest, friendliest worldwide person. And it looks like we're about to win something. It's like, oh, we're lads, yes.
Really? So, I did not expect that.
I mean, I'm saying it half-jokingly, mate.
Oh, right, okay, right.
No one says with a smile on the face, yes, I am jingoistic. I was like to point
not
that
jingoistic,
out. Sorry.
But I thought you were saying, like, you want England to, like, do well in... No.
This is going horribly. Look, I'm very proud when England wins stuff. Shut up. Look, it's nice. I mean, it is funny. It also shows the side of us. Like, yeah, Barrett's I'll just carry on. Talk over you as your bastard.
The national defense.
No, Christ.
They all come out in a Weatherspoon.
Look, I can give you a downvote if you like.
No, it's fine.
There you go. Yeah. Make it quiet. It's funny how UK were all happy. Yay, finally, a champion from the UK. That's so great. We're together. But as soon as there's the chance of Wade Barrett winning, it's like, away, England. So
it's like,
that's
it's like
what
Andy
I'm
Murray.
Trying to say.
It's like when Andy
exactly,
Murray
yes. Yeah. But yeah, I like the idea of it because Wade Barrett winning, he should have won in 2010. Sorry. Everybody who went for the period saw the rise and rise and rise of NXT and Nexus and then sort of like, just didn't happen for some reason. So it would be nice for it to be redone 10 years later and get that little thing fixed, especially considering he's shown up right after a Nexus-esque group is now on Raw.
That's true as well. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So what do you think, Pacini?
Yeah, I really like it. I'm not sure about Wade becoming champion at this point in his career. It would be nice, but maybe a little tokenistic. I'm not sure you'd get much out of it, especially if he just drops it back to Drew. But yeah, I you know what? I'd go so far as to say scrap another referendum, which a lot of the Scots desperately want, and have Wade versus Drew. And if Drew wins, Scotland, see you later. We'll be sad.
If Drew wins, they get independence. And if Wade wins, oh,
he'd be a hero. That would make him the biggest superstar, well, in all of Scotland.
And now we go live to the House. Now we go live to the House of Commons, where they've set up a big projector with Hell in a Cell
doing reactions, doing a big watch along, all social. Distanced, falling asleep on the green sofas.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make the motion that claimer was sick.
Order! I'm doing an order for Domino's Pizza. Who wants to put a tenner in?
They can do that all night as well, because the Parliament Bar doesn't shut at 10 like all the rest of the bars in the. It doesn't matter. Getting riled up.
Easily done. It's a yes from me, just because out of any potential Drew dream match, I think Wade is up there. And you know, obviously they've known each other forever. And Wade coming out for one more match, and I do think Wade should lose, but Wade coming out one more match would be sensational if it was with Drew, because he would give him his absolute best. Especially like you combine the fact last match with one of his best mates. Wonderful stuff. Have Rusev special guest ref, Alberto Del Rio, keep him in prison. No, I really like it. It's a yes from me.
Thank you very much. Also, did anyone see Barrett's interview where he was trying to kind of put this match into motion and said that he used to pour beans on Drew McIntyre? Beans on him. That must have been a true incident then, because it's way too specific to... Why would he have poured beans on him? Was it just two lads having a bit of a laugh? I don't understand.
I loved it because I saw the BT Sports thing, wasn't it? And they were just like, it was clear that like Barrett was just completely ribbing him. I'm not sure he was trying to set up a match at all. I just think he was being a jokey dick to his friend. I love it. Bants. My next one is involves a match that nobody wants to see, which is Elias versus Jeff Hardy. Nobody's excited about this. It's not a pay-per-view caliber match, if we're honest. I know Elias has just come back, but come on.
I know
there's the storyline from ages ago.
You went slightly there. Can you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, sure. So I was just saying that nobody gives a toss about this match. So I know there's the storyline with the car thing. I think it makes Elias look like an idiot because it obviously wasn't Jeff, but I guess he's a heel, whatever. But he still looks very silly. So the match is about to start. Jeff's music hits. He comes out. Da-da-da-da. Actually, no, he's serious. He walks down to the ring and this is big boy. And then all of a sudden, despite the fact that it's not a cell match, the cell starts lowering. All the lighting's happening, and then you see him. Elias is on top of the bloody thing. You hear a strum, cuts to Elias, he's on top of the cell, and he has trapped Jeff Hardy in the cell on his own. Jeff can't get out because Elias is up there, and he says, well, I'm gonna do a song, and Jeff, you can't do anything about it. And then Elias does his little ditty. He ridicules Jeff, and the camera just stays on Elias the whole time as he's finishing this thing. And as he's approaching the end of the song, he's been ragging on Jeff now for 2 minutes. It's a great song. Jeff Hardy has managed to escape the cell somehow. We'll find that later. I haven't figured that out. He's escaped the cell through the door, I guess, because the rest weren't prepped to lock it because it's not a cell match. And you get the great visual of Jeff climbing up the cage behind him, his face paint on, While Elias is singing, Jeff's there and he is not happy. Jeff grabs him. It's all going to kick off here. They're on top of the cell. What the hell's happening? Elias turns around, whacks him with the guitar, smashes it over his head. Jeff stumbles back, falls off the cell to the floor.
To the floor.
To the you would think that, but the great thing about this is you sustain that shot, you keep that shot going at the top of the cell. There could be a crash mat down there. Jeff could just fall on a big crash mat. And Elias goes back to the microphone that's on top of the cell. He finishes his song, and then by the time you cut to Jeff, you've removed the crash mat, and he's just laid on the floor. It looks like he's absolutely dead. excuse me. And I think there are two benefits to this. First of all, and the most obvious one, is that we don't have to see Elias versus Jeff Hardy, which would be nice. But also it puts big heat on Elias, and maybe it makes the feud in a couple of months' time when Jeff comes back from his death, makes the feud worth investing in a little bit more than it is now. I'm trying to save what is bad, essentially. I still don't think I'd be especially excited to see it because it's Jeff Hardy versus Elias, but there you go.
It's going to get a thumbs down, I'm afraid, Adam.
I could deal with that.
There's various reasons. One, when the cage goes down, why wouldn't he check the door straight away? That's just a minor thing.
Okay.
But also, how does he finish his song? Because he smashed the guitar over his head.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A cappella.
Right, just...
Didn't think about that. No, that's a big one. Yeah, maybe he's got one more line to sing. And that's why I threw you off the cell. Or so,
he knew it was going to happen.
No, that's stupid as well. All right, he doesn't need the guitar to finish his song. He just goes... Or he goes, there will be no encore. Or something like that. Because yes. There you go, there's the line.
Okay. Yeah.
Beef. He's got beef on the table as well. Sorry.
Sorry, the work laptop's trying to update. I'm just delaying it. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm scared.
Oh, it's all good.
Fantastic.
I like this view. You look like a little froggy. Like a little frog. Do you not think? Like that. So, Matthew, what are your thoughts?
Now, he's self-consciously doing this.
It's all good. It's all good.
Jack the Frogger.
Ah. Hey. Yeah. I was going to say no, because half of it I like. I like the idea of Jeff Hardy being trapped and then Elias being like, ha ha, and there's no match. Those are two positives. But the idea of Jeff Hardy coming off the Hell in a Cell again, I'm like, I'm actually getting, you know, a bit sensitive about the idea of what Jeff's doing because he keeps on getting himself injured and hurt. And it's like, it's a bit sad at this point, to be honest with you. But then you said, Elias sings like the exact bits, like, Jeff Hardy, you better not climb up this cell, because if you do, I'm going to send you to hell. And then the exact bit, Jeff realizes what he's singing, he's like, uh-oh, and then he gets kicked off. I like that. That's perfect.
I didn't say that. That wasn't my pitch at all, but you did. Thumbs up. You can have it. Yeah.
These podcasts are recorded, Pachidi. I think you'll find if you go back and see it, you did say that. So, yes, as long as he's singing, and Jeff's coming up here, and he better not, I'll hit him with my guitar. Quang. See, no, I told you.
Quang. No, Wang.
There's not... Eliza's songs aren't that fast. Here we go. Coming up the
You're right. Jeff has to, but Jeff's going to mash the pad to go up the cell that quick. You're right.
This is so South Park. It's unbelievable. He's on his way up the
Jeff
stair.
Comes.
No.
Here comes Jeff not again. My pitch. Kick.
Not my pitch at all, but yeah.
Well, thumbs up to what I just said.
I agree. Great. There you go. That's Matthews. Jack, Matthew. We're on to you.
Oh, wait. No, I see what you're doing. No, yeah,
he's being silly.
Yes.
And it's just as well, because my second pitch, Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton. My prediction for this match is that I browse Ask Reddit on one screen while having this match on another, and I read about the quickest way someone lost their job at work or the craziest thing that happened to a lawyer during a trial, rather than pay attention to a feud that wrapped up a month ago. And the only reason I can think of this match happening in the cell is the fact that this is actually the opportunity for Braun Strowman to come interfere during the match and leaving a big Strowman-shaped hole in the cell while he's yelling, Braun, like it's 2018. So instead of the cell being used to keep people out, they're running out of ideas here. There was an I Quit Hell in the Cell match, and there are three of them apparently on this super show. They're using it to emphasize other people. So Braun shoves Drew through the cell wall to make Drew McIntyre colored crayons, and then uses the wall to make shredded Orton for his quesadilla that he'll have after the match. Match goes to non-contest, and this sets up Drew versus Braun for the next pay-per-view, which will probably be in a day's time, while letting Randy Orton focus on his promos as he puts himself back together again on Raw. And that is it. That is basically it, because I'm so bored by this feud, I'm looking forward to the interference during Hell in a Cell. What do you think, Jack?
Ross has done a very similar pitch before. The infamous, maybe the best pitch in the history of nine pitches. No.
The one George Miz, the potato.
George Miz to go through the cell and turn into chips.
I can't believe that you're pitching Braun, of all people, to save this. And your dream way of getting out. Keep in mind that you can pitch anything in these. The world is your oyster. That you've decided, you know what would make anything. This more interesting? A man who has just had a really bad world title reign and hasn't been especially fun to watch this year, at least.
That Braun is a good Strowman. Point, Pachidi. I'm glad you brought that up, because Braun has been...
Oh, he's doing a Sam Driver. Well, I took this into account, did you?
Objection, Your Honour. Braun Strowman, Broman, to his friends, has been that because he's not been doing the things that made him cool in the first place in 2018, when he was not going for ambulances and just going... Brr. Now he's doing that. So the cell is designed to make Braun look good. He can go through it. He can wreck it. He can do what he likes with it. He can suplex the cell if he wants and just take out a few CRT monitors in the front row. Braun Strowman doing those cool things is the Braun Strowman we all like. Boring Broman taking pictures of syringes in his bathroom. That's not what we want. We don't want that.
What?
We saw them on Twitter.
What? Oh, I missed this totally. Oh, no.
Yeah, so did Braun. So I think it's a good way of resetting him, because it's a lot better seeing him wreck stuff and be cool rather than him beating Keith Lee in 3 minutes. So, part of the plan.
I'm going to give it a Bison Trooper middle thumb, because I do agree that it would make Braun cool again, but at the same time, I feel like I agree with Adam and that Braun's not the right person for this at the moment.
Okay, who would you switch it to?
Bit of indigestion.
So, for me, he just got it cut off. Jack said, actually, I changed my mind. It's a great idea.
I got a bit of indigestion and the Discord cut out at the same time.
It was a really good cut out. You went... disappeared.
I was like, oh, what's going on?
Oh, it's a bad virus you've got there. But so was there any of a wrestler that you could change?
Anyone.
To have the exact
anyone.
Same.
Yeah. Well, I already said Wade Barrett, so that's my answer.
To put in Braun's position there? Keith, I guess.
He's just
Keith's
loads.
Just infinitely more interesting. Well, yeah, but
I mean, Braun's, he is. You're right, but you know,
Braun's boring. I just don't want to see Braun anywhere near the world title, and by doing this, you're putting him in the world title picture, and I just can't be arsed with it. Okay. Not you, just Braun. Can't be arsed with you, Matthew. Stop your bollocks. No, it's just I don't know. I've really soured on Braun. Maybe I'm being unfair. I probably
am. It's the booking. It's not Braun himself. It's the booking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Matthew, that's your fine. Attempt to save Braun, who could be a really good, interesting character, gets a no from Adam Pacitti.
Oh. My second pitch is... Lads, it's a silly one. It's Roman Reigns and Jey Uso in the I Quit Hell in a Cell match. Roman obviously wins. And then after Jey's said I quit, just to kind of... In fact, no, it works better if the match just doesn't end. Neither of them say I quit. Jey won't quit. Roman's beating him down. He won't do it. He won't quit. And then in homage to Jericho and MJF on AEW Dynamite, they break into song and the show ends on a musical number. And I thought to myself, what's the best musical number to do like for this? I think it's, you know, the ending of Bugsy Malone when they're all friends, really. Why is he shaking his head there, Adam Pacitti?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I thought you were like, this is rubbish. It is rubbish. But it is. The film's good, though. They sing, you'll know the song. It's If You Give a Little Love, Then It All Comes Back to You. So they're all doing that. They're all dancing about. Vince gets involved. All the lads from the locker room come out. And I was struggling to think of a third pitch. So I thought I'd disguise it by putting my third one in the middle. And yeah.
It's paid off.
Yep.
Can I change the song?
Yeah.
Because I've got something that could. Yeah, it's all bollocks, isn't it? So I think Jey does give up. And then Roman goes, thanks for doing that, Oos. And he goes, what can I say except you're welcome. Yeah. And then that leads to The Rock coming out and says, no, only I can be the man off Moana, whose name I can't remember.
Maui.
I don't know what that was. Maui. And then that sets up Rock. Not that I don't like Bugsy Malone. I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, you should watch it. I think you'd like it.
You know what? I was actually... I'm sure I was in a Bugsy Malone-themed carnival float when I was a kid, because I remember having, like, the hat on, the little trilby thing or whatever
it
was.
You look like CM Punk at WrestleMania on Cena's gangster car.
I look just like that. Six-year-old me, spot on.
You probably look like Bugsy Malone.
It's a yes from me.
What? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Matthew?
Yeah, I like the idea of... What?
I can't believe it's done it. I can't believe it's got two yeses. Yeah.
You know what? That just sort of slipped out. I just didn't know what to say, so I just went, it's a yes from me. It's awful. It's the worst. Yeah, why not?
Okay, it's crap. It's silly. It shouldn't end a pay-per-view. It's Hell in the Cell. Fantastic, Jack. You are now working for WWE Creative. Yes, well done. Thumbs up.
Thanks. He's done it. Adam, can we have your third and final pitch, please?
Yeah, it's a serious one to end on from me. And it involves a man who isn't booked on the show. It's Daniel Bryan. And this is a really, really simple one here. Bryan's back, obviously. He came back on SmackDown. He comes to the ring. He cuts a great babyface promo. And then he brings up I don't want to call it the elephant in the room, the Intercontinental title in the room, because obviously he had to forfeit that way back when. And he just calls out Sami Zayn and they have a bloody great match. Because at the moment, you've got a lot of, I mean, there's going to be some really good wrestling matches on the show and everything, but we don't have one that isn't in the cell, that without any sort of gimmick, that's just going to be a great, two great wrestlers having a match without any shenanigans or whatever involved. So they have the match. It goes 20 minutes. It's brilliant. You don't need that much storyline leading into it. It's just a wrestling match for the wrestling belt. And Sami wins, further solidifying himself as a proper champion in WWE, beating a former WWE world champion. He can bend the rules a little bit. That doesn't matter. And maybe that sets up a little intercontinental title feud that can go for a few months with just really, really good matches, and matches that I would very much like to see on SmackDown or on pay-per-view. You can't complain about Sami and Daniel Bryan going at it, can you? Or can you, Matthew?
No, you can't. Can you, Jack?
No, Adam, you can't. No, it's a yes from me as well. There we go.
Easy.
Well Ring done. Of Honor, mid-2000s Ring of Honor there in WWE. It would be great.
Yeah, it's a good point, man. Yeah, because the issues that they've been having the last few months have all sorted out. Done the season premiere and draft and all that silly bollocks. Time for something fresh. Daniel Bryan coming back. Drew Gulak sold off the Raw. Yeah, I like it.
Cool. Matthew, Sweet. Your third pick, please.
It's also a serious one. It's also unfortunately timed because it comes after your one you've just done. It's Bayley versus Banks, Tell in the Cell, and it doesn't seem right that it's almost happening like this. Been built up for so long, it's almost as if, is this match actually going to happen now? At Hell in a Cell, an unremarkable C-level show? Yeah. So I think Bayley should come in, and Banks is like, oh, I'm going to get you, all this, I can't wait to tear you apart. And Bayley's like, no, don't be like that. I mean, we're, you know, I'll hurt you and everything, but we can still be friends, right? Then, like, AEW, because you know that AEW, WWE, just don't get along. I've read that rumor on there, the cultaholic.com/news bit. So they go, oh, well, we can do a bit better than that. So Bayley goes, come on, we're friends, right? And she goes, come on, I'll prove we're friends, me and you. Teams today that all you see is violence and movies and sex on TV. And she goes, but where are those good old-fashioned values? Cuts to Banks. It's like, on which we used to rely. And then they both sing together. Luckily, the family got it. Da-da. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us. And then Banks waits for Bayley to do her bit. Bayley, your bit, your Stewie. And she looks, and Bayley's actually left. And she says, so long, sucker, see you WrestleMania. And she loses via count out, but retains the title.
It's a Hell in a Cell match. It doesn't matter anymore. There are no rules
doesn't matter,
in Hell in a
yeah.
Cell matches.
The Braun Strowman hole from the last match with Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton is still there. And she goes, what's gone through there? Smaller than him. So we get the Hell in a Cell match. Bayley retains, but loses. Get the title going. And keep this going, because Hell in a Cell is not the place to have this match. It's not. This is a big, big, big match and a big, big feud. Years in the making. And so they get to have it and do it, but not do it at the same time. What do you think, Jack?
It's just the most preposterous pitch of it. Why would you include a musical number in a pay-per-view in a Hell in a Cell match? It's just stupid. You need to put more effort into these pitches, videos, I feel. So it's a big no from me.
Well, at least you're fair.
Fundamentally, I agree that this match shouldn't be happening at Hell in a Cell, and it is a WrestleMania match. But what you've just said there is an insult to our listeners. it is the worst thing that I think has ever been suggested in one of these videos. But because I messed up with Jack, it's a big thumbs up from me. So well done there.
Fantastic. And I also like the fact that you're doing this under protest. But even though I did the first bit of the song, Jack couldn't help but finish.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Banks is like, oh, you know, I just have to sing along. So thank you for saying that under protest. I appreciate it.
There's a lot I don't understand about the bollocks that you just spouted, but why are they singing Family Guy?
It was
a song. He doesn't even know.
It's a song that everyone knows.
Right. Okay.
Oh, you don't even know what Bugsy Malone is, so we have to make sure that people understand these references.
Bad guy. Yeah. No, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe the good guy in Bugsy Malone. Anyway, Jack, what is your pick?
My last pitch is also Sasha and Bayley, but it's a serious one, unfortunately.
Thank the Lord.
ideally, when this happened, this whole feud, and they finally turned on each other, I wanted it to, you know. I wanted Sasha to disappear until the Rumble, win the Rumble, and then it would be Bayley and Sasha at WrestleMania. We're not getting that now. So I feel like Sasha probably should win the title in Hell in a Cell. Then maybe Bayley can win the Rumble, and then they can have their... I just want them to have a big WrestleMania match, basically. So I'll go with that, and I'll say that's the long-term goal. But there's also a short-term part of this pitch as well, which is that after Sasha's won, and I don't think it should be against Bayley because she'll have been battered by, you know, the match the night, like the week before. But I think on SmackDown, Sasha should have a surprise challenge from somebody. And I can't decide who. Somebody who could viably beat her. And everyone thinks, well, she always loses her first title defense. This is going to be terrible. But then she pulls out the bag and actually wins. But
Charlotte.
I can't.
It's got to be Charlotte.
Yeah, they're perfect. Yeah,
I know
perfect.
She's on Raw, but it's Charlotte.
No, that's, yep, there we go. Thanks for finishing my pitch. And improving it immeasurably. I was thinking Ronda, but I was like, I don't want Ronda to lose if she's going to come back for WrestleMania.
Do you think that's why they're rushing this along, this feud? Because they're waiting on maybe Ronda, maybe Becky?
But why can't they have Ronda and Becky and Sasha and Bayley on the same show?
I agree, but maybe that's the thinking.
Maybe.
What do you think, Matthew?
You have the same idea as me, but the fact that yours is... And then Charlotte Flair returns. I'm like, well, no.
Wait, do I?
Well,
it was definitely the same.
Yeah, it was.
Apart
yours
from that, it's nearly exactly the same. All right, You did the American Dad instead of me. That's fair enough. But on principle, the same thing.
No,
but
it's the fact not that yours, the same thing at all.
Look,
no, I'm not focusing on the
wrong
this.
Thing. You're focusing on the wrong thing here, Silly. The thing is, I'm happy that Bailey and Banks finally getting their time to shine. And you want to put that back. You want to put the emphasis back on the returning Charlotte Flair.
No,
you
not
know
no,
that
no,
she's
no.
not going to lose
one match.
In the first
match. That's one match.
And she's losing it.
I get what you're saying, Matthew, that Jack wants to put this off as well. I think that's the same thing.
I think Jack might
have gotten there a little bit better than you in this case.
See, I'm just trying to tenuously argue it as best I can, but I'm not doing a good job, am I? Yeah, it's a good idea, Jack. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a good
Cheers.
Idea. Thumbs up from me, pal.
Well, that concludes our 9 pitches video.
Who won? I think you won again there, Jack.
Oh, do we do winners?
But we're all winners, except the listeners.
Yeah. stick around this weekend where Adam will be covering just all the wrestling, really. Bound for Glory, one of Impact. Is Bound for Glory Impact's biggest show, or is that Slammiversary? It's Bound for Glory, isn't it? That's like their mania, I think. Or is it Slammiversary? Are they both kind of...
In my head, I want to say Bound for Glory, but everybody was getting really hyped up about Slammiversary. I think it's Bound for Glory, isn't it?
Yeah.
By the way, I can plug a thing. If you go to cultolic.com/impact, you can get $10 free on Fight to help watch the show on Saturday if you want to get involved there.
And also, you'll be doing a live stream for Hell in a Cell on Sunday. The loser of yours and Sam's prediction contest will do Hell in a Smell. The winner will be the new Cultaholic Heavyweight Champion. And I can't think of anything. Matthew, have you got anything to plug coming up?
I certainly do. Before all of that, on Saturday at 6 p.m, I will be streaming from the Cultaholic streaming account, which is twitch.tv/Cultaholic. I've got it right.
Yeah, from the Cultaholic streaming account. How long have you been doing this?
I know how to sell these.
twitch.tv/Cultaholic. You can tune into Matthew failing at games.
Oh, is it bad?
Well, I popped it. I didn't really understand what was going on with that game that you were playing.
Oh, it's bad, but it's you. You're supposed to fail. It's a very hard game, but right. Yes, that will be happening again this Saturday, 6 p.m. Nice. UK time. And what have you got for us, Jack?
Don't know, really. Nothing out of the ordinary. I'll be doing a What Happened At After Hell in a Cell. And yeah, that's about it. So thank you very much for watching. That has been 9 Pitches. I've been Jack, this has been Adam and Matthew. Leave your thoughts on all of these wacky pitches and leave your own in the comments down below, and we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.